Good evening, everyone. I would like welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any admitted business for the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work in a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Maybe some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue for any remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all of those within the chamber have spoken. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Do we have any apologies?
Chair, we have apologies from Councillors Enright, Gilbreth and Howell.
Thank you. Okay.
Sorry, Councillor Tinley as well.
So, moving on to the Chairperson's remarks. There are times in our lives where our politics are not really relevant. And I think that is something that is pertinent now as we talk about loss, something that always brings us together, regardless of our politics, and that is loss and sorrow. And I want to say, on behalf of the entire Council, that we want to extend our sincere condolences to two of our own, Professor Charlotte Tinley, on the tragic loss of his daughter, Aoife, something no family or no parent should ever have to endure. I think I speak on behalf of everybody in this chamber when we give our sincere condolences to Charlotte's family. We wish them all the support that we can possibly give them. It'll be a tough time for the future for his family. I want to convey and express our condolences for them. And similarly, Councillor McAteer, I want to express my condolences on the loss of your father. Any loss has impacted with any family, so please extend our condolences to all of them in the chamber as well. So, on that note, I think we should just move on to action item number 3 on the agenda, which is the action sheet arising from Council meeting held on the 13th of April. Sorry, is there any declarations of interest?
None, Chair.
None? Okay. Item number 3, action sheet. Is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Propose in a second, please. Councillor Hardy, seconder. Councillor Bowsey, any matters arising? No? Okay. Item number 4, minutes of the Council meeting held on the 13th of April 2026. For accuracy, Council pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, yes, 36, 37, 38. Can I have a proposal and a seconder, please? Councillor Finn? Seconder?
Seconder.
Councillor Murphy? Any matters arising? None? Thank you. Item number 5 of the agenda, minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 20th of April 2026. The Tracy, pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Can I propose in a seconder, please?
Opposed.
Mr. Andrews, seconder. Seconder. That's a heartache. Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Moving on then, number six. Councillor Hardy, you're not on the EDRT committee. Councillor Rowan. Thank you, Becky. Item number six, Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 23rd of April 2026. Brackets A, pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 11? 12. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Mr. Byrne, seconder. Mr. Mallers. Mr. Reddy.
Chairman, it was just an item 10 of the SPNR agenda.
Councillor Reddy, I just reminded that item's closed session, so if we're going to discuss, we will have to go into closed session here now.
Yeah, but Chairman, we would like to propose that this be held in open council on process.
It's a closed session.
Not the financial.
Councillor Reddy,
no, Chairman, the process of how this will be
made. It's an item discussed in closed session. It's closed session.
We believe, Chairman, it's in the public interest for
it is an item
full disclosure.
It's closed session. We will discuss this in closed session should you want to.
Yes, but we're not talking about the financial aspect. We're talking about the process of how we arrived at this issue. Because, Chairman, there's a lot of concern within our group, and in particular that we're not happy with the way this has been managed.
Well,
we're told it was market testing whenever it was clearly a sale.
It's a closed session.
No, we were told it was market testing, Chairman. And yet
I'm not going to go back and forth with this. It was an item that was discussed in closed session.
No,
if you want to discuss it further, it will be discussed in closed session.
Chairman,
have your discussion upon the matter. It will just be in closed session.
No, Chairman, because you want to close this down. Can we get legal advice? Can we discuss the process without discussing the amounts involved or the people involved? It's the process of how this was managed.
Again, it was an item that was discussed in closed session.
No, it doesn't have to be taken in closed session.
Legal,
you're taking this closed session
press
to stop the public from finding out exactly what's going on.
It was a closed session item, and I'm not going to run the risk of any items coming out within this discussion. So,
well, if you can't discuss the process, what's the point, Chairman, and coming to this chamber? You know, if you can't have an open and honest discussion about something.
Should you wish to discuss it, we'll have to go into closed session. Do you wish to close
the discussion? Right, then we'll go into closed session.
Your proposal and a seconder. Closed session? No. Michael. Everybody agreed it was a closed session to the table?
Chairman, we're just going to closed session.
Just going to closed session.
It's proposed and seconded.
Okay, closed session.
Oh, no.
Okay, so when in closed session, discussion was held on item number SPR054-2026. As there was dissent in the chamber, the item was put to recorded vote. The results which were as follows, 4, 5, against 28, and 1 abstention. Okay. Councillor Liz?
Thank you, Chair. It's just to check that could officers meet with the teams that use the old road pitches in Dundrum prior to any upgrade works taking place there to make sure that they're kept up the 28. That's all it was.
I can arrange that through the chair.
Yeah. Okay. Any other matters arising? No. Moving on to item number 7 in the agenda, which is. All right, proposing a seconder for the minutes. Councillor Byrne? Seconder? You're not on the committee. Councillor Hanlon? Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Item number 7 on the agenda, which is Minutes of Active Healthy Communities, meeting held on Monday, 27th April at 6. 3 minutes, page 1, 2, 3, and 4. have a proposer and a seconder, please. Opposed, Councillor Lawler. Seconder, Councillor McGuinness. Any matters arising? None. Okay, moving on to item number 8, Minister of Sustainability and Environment Committee, held on the 29th of April 2026. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, 5, and 6. Yep. I'm proposing a seconder, please. Proposed Councillor Hardy, seconded Councillor Rowan. Any matters arising? Councillor Truesdale.
Thanks, Chair. Could I have it in on the record now that the home to hospital service did not cover Mourne? And there has been a number of actionable points put in for the 26-27 year. Thank you.
Mr. Truesdale. Moving on to item number 9, plan section, nothing to report.
Chair.
Mr. Hannah.
Just Marie there, we still haven't had the report on the JRs. Any idea when we might have that information?
Yeah, Chair, I actually held a meeting staff, so we have the report drafted, and I think it's due to be tabled next in the May's planning committee.
So is it? Right?
Yeah,
lovely.
Yeah.
Just before I leave it.
Okay, Councillor Hannah. Item number 10 on the agenda, which is the correspondence report. Can I propose in a seconder, please? Councillor Young. Seconder. Mr. King. Any matters arising? None? Okay. We have before us this evening an emergency motion from Councillor Truesdale. So, in line with standard orders, we need to have a qualified majority vote. Your Councillor Truesdale's motion, are we in agreement?
So we have to do a qualified majority. Prepared to hear it. So Sarah will do the call.
Truesdale is absent. Councillor Fawzi?
Fawzi?
Against.
Councillor Brennan? Councillor Byrne? Councillor Campbell?
Four.
Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Devlin. Councillor Enright is absent. Councillor Fain. Councillor Finn. Councillor Gilbreth is absent. Councillor Gibbons.
Four.
Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hannah. Councillor Hart. Councillor Hardy. Councillor Hoyle is absent. Councillor Howie is absent. Councillor Jackson is absent. Councillor Kearns. Councillor Orlicking. Councillor Cahill King. Councillor Larkin.
Four.
Councillor Lawler. Councillor Lee Surgener.
Four.
Councillor Lewis. Councillor McGuinness. Councillor Mathers. Councillor McAteer. Councillor Declan Murphy. Councillor Kate Murphy.
Four.
Councillor Selena Murphy.
Four.
Councillor O'Hare.
Four.
Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley. Councillor Rice. Councillor Ruam. Councillor Taylor.
Four.
Councillor Tinley is absent. Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Young. The 34, 4 against and no exceptions.
So as a qualified majority, Councillor Truesdale, would you like to read the motion and inform us to your second, please?
Councillor Young will be seconding. The motion reads, this council expressed deep concern at the devastating impact that wildfires have had in the Mourns, putting local communities in danger and destroying precious habitats. Commends the heroic bravery of the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service and the PSNI in bringing the fires under control and protecting communities. Further commends Mourne Heritage Trust, the National Trust and Mourne Mountain Rescue for their role in managing the Mourns. Urges anyone with information on those responsible for malicious wildfires in our countryside to pass on that information to the appropriate authorities. Welcomes the appointment of the Paul Costa Foundation to undertake work on wildfire management and response plans. Affirms the importance of a collaborative multi-agency response. Welcomes the Wildfire Strategic Framework and Action Plan and resolves to write to the Executive
outlining the importance of adequate funding to support preparation, preparedness, response, recovery and enforcement. You can all see the devastating damage visibly has scarred the mountains. You've heard of the major emergency response teams, hundreds of firefighters and partner agencies working around the clock. That pool of emergency personnel is not bottomless. They are not possessed of superhuman power. They are the humans that rush forward when the rest of us are rushing away. Most fire officers and more mountain rescue responders are volunteers with daytime jobs. These rich habitats do not distinguish who gets their benefits. We all benefit from a healthy landscape and we all suffer when they are destroyed. Some Newcastle residents watched fire come to their back doors. We all sat and watched the ash fall on our cars and our homes, and a huge number of people had their chest and asthma conditions exacerbated. I have watched these fires from my window too many times, and I can't describe the fear and helplessness that comes with watching the mountain up in flames, the tearful, fearful phone calls from family and friends. I'm acutely aware, on an environmental side, of the peat damage, the carbon release, the habitat damage, the smoke dangers, and the unpredictability of fire. I have long advocated for a dedicated ranger service across Mourne, long before I was elected. The piecemeal enforcement that we have had so far was incredibly successful. These fires are caused by human activity, whether through carelessness or inattention, out-of-season agricultural practices, or malicious fire setting. I didn't want to make this about me, but I asked a few friends who, like me, are born and bred in Newcastle for generations to express how they feel every time this happens, because I want everybody to understand what it's like to watch where you love and you live burn. So this is an amalgamation of what they said. Now, this is their words, not mine. We approach the end of April in trepidation every year. We look for the purple haze on the mountain, the same heather we all remember from our childhoods, but equally we dread it because heather means fire. The smell of smoke when it comes turns your stomach and your heart starts to race. Messages on the phone start to roll in. Most of the time, images are sent to the phones well before the fire engines are on the road. The fires arrive to incinerate the wildlife. It's not just the land they burn, but absolutely everything in it and on it. It's hard not to think about the ground nesting birds laying their eggs just to have them burnt before they even get a chance. The Mournes are an ASSI and an SAC, but does anybody care? A low-grade grass may return, but everything that lives there won't. The return of those grasses just means more combustible material. The Mournes are the only thing Newcastle has going for it. It's time for the abuse to stop. There needs to be an independent body that investigates these environmental catastrophes. That's the end of their words, but on a final note, I would like to thank councillor colleagues from the SDLP and Sinn Féin, who, along with the Alliance and council officers, attended a timely meeting of Mourne stakeholders and working through commonalities that we all share. We were all able to agree three immediate strategic priorities which are in line with the Pau Costa Foundation in education, enforcement and funding. Nobody was of a mind to be at that meeting and hand-wring. We all wanted actions and we all agreed on the same actions under a multi-agency response. Thank you.
Councillor Truesdale, Councillor Young,
would you
like to speak to the motion? Councillor
Devlin. Thank you, Chair, and I do totally concur with the sentiment of the motion that's before us this evening. But unfortunately, we've been here many, many times before, both inside this chamber and at the foot of the Mournes. Motion after motion, strategy after strategy, and photocall after photocall, but no real tangible difference for the people of the Mournes and our treasured landscape. I want to see action, and the people of the Mournes want to see action. I want to see our government stepping up and delivering for the Mournes, because to date that hasn't happened. And unfortunately, we will be here again, all the while our environment is being decimated. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Rice.
Chair, may I go, Chair? The Mourne Mountains is one of our most iconic and vulnerable natural assets. For those who live nearby, it's not just scenery, but they define our community and our identity. Visitor numbers to the Mournes reaching 500,000 each year. Pressure on this landscape is growing fast. But what angers people the most is not just the fires, it's the lack of consequences. The law exists, but enforcement is almost non-existent. The same areas burn, and those responsible are rarely identified or prosecuted. There's a clear and growing enforcement gap, and people have lost patience with it. What I would say is that while DAIR have brought forward a wildfire strategy, It has simultaneously cut funding to the Mourne Heritage and removed engagement rangers, the very people on the ground preventing the fire. So I would suggest that you can't protect a landscape by removing the people who actively protect it. That decision has created a vacuum at the worst possible time. The PSNI are not equipped to deal with environmental crime at this level. We have been waiting far too long for proper investment, a dedicated environmental crime unit, and tools needed to investigate and prosecute. So right now, the system isn't acting as a deterrent. It's doing the opposite.
Thank you, Councillor Rice. Councillor Hanna.
Thanks, Chair. As Laura has said, this is not the first time we've been here with this. For my time in council, we've been here quite regularly. And we don't seem to have learned the lessons of the community, doesn't seem to have learned the lessons of the devastation that does take place on the mountains. Also, we have Stormont in place at the moment. And yes, I commend the firemen for going up the mountains, I do, but I think we need a more efficient way of fighting these fires. Perhaps the United Kingdom there and even maybe the Republic of Ireland could come together to form some sort of a unit of helicopters and that can actually drop water onto the water in the appropriate places there that will actually stop the fire moving as quickly as it did, because by the time the fire brigades and the fire officers get up the mountains and they do get tired, as anybody would get tired running up and down there to get even to the fire, I know it came down very low this time. I see just out the Ballock, it's right down to the back door of John McKibben's house and our back wall of his farm, so it is. And I've never seen it as low as that, so I haven't down the mountains. But in the way we attack the fire, I think we're going to have to look at it from a different point of view. What we're doing is working to a certain extent, but it's not stopping the fire moving so quickly. We need to move everybody as quick. If all helicopters were in place, or even one, possibly two, they could do more work than the firemen and the rescue services do, and maybe a whole day. I've had emails I have from fire officers from different parts, and they're all of the same opinion, so they are. They need more facilities. And I do understand, I'm not blaming any minister in particular, but I think this falls under the responsibility of the health minister. We do need to have a pot of money there so we can engage them all, likes of helicopters and more efficient ways of fighting, and take lessons from possibly other parts of the world, the likes of Canada or even, I know Greece and them countries have got a severe weather burnout, so they have in the last few years. So we need to look, we need to think a bit outside the box, and we need to get proper equipment, if you want to call helicopters. I think helicopters would mean an awful difference there. It would save habitat, so it would. Although, come back to what everybody else has said there, I don't know who's doing it, so I don't. There is very little consequences. I don't remember anybody being prosecuted last year over it. I doubt if anybody will be prosecuted this year. It is extremely difficult for the police or whoever it is that follows up this, but the community has to take some responsibility on this, so they do. If you see anything, please tell the police and as early as possible. Because the sooner we get on it, and as I said to you, I think helicopters would actually be the way forward in this case. Put up the water quickly in front of the fire, and I'll put it out. So, well, that's my thoughts, Chair.
Councillor Hanna, Councillor Riley.
Yes, Chairman, we voted against allowing this in as an emergency motion on the same grounds that we voted against Pete Burns' emergency motions and potholes, because it wasn't an emergency. It was something that has been ongoing. So, whenever you're bringing an emergency notice of motion of something that everybody agrees on and is so obvious, it becomes performative and it doesn't help anybody. But unless you come up with constructive proposals, and in years past, the Irish Air Corps and the RAF have both used rotary aircraft to help both with fires and with distributing fodder for cattle and sheep in difficult weather conditions. And there's no reason why they couldn't do that again. As Glenn says, if they could form a special firefighting unit, it would be good training for the RAF. A big Chinook could go up and put one of them fires out in one go. So that's a formal proposal against you, and I'm proposed to second it, that we write to the RAF and the Irish Air Corps, asking them to cooperate in the formation of a a special unit to put out gorse fires.
Amendment. Professor Truesdale, accept the amendment. What do you vote?
Hi, Chair. Can I also, this has now turned into a fire service debate, but it wasn't that before. I'm on the board of the fire service to declare that interest. I'm not sure if you need me to leave. I don't think I do, but it's just to have that noted. If we're asking for extra resources to the fire service, I need to abstain myself from that.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Okay, so go to the vote. Councillor Rennie, can you read your amendment to President Truesdale's motion? Mr. Reddick, can you state your amendment clearly to Councillor Steele's motion, please?
But Councillor writes to the RAF and the Irish Air Corps asking them to form a cooperative unit to collaboratively fight gorse fires from the air using rotary aircraft. Helicopter.
Mr. Truesdale, just for the record, you're not accepting that amendment?
No, we can talk about helicopters for hours here, but it makes absolutely no difference to asking the Irish Air Corps, who are called on anyway, and the other helicopter from Wales, which is called on anyway. This motion is about funding, because you can't get helicopters without funding. This is solely about funding, so that's why I am not accepting the motion.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. So we'll go to the vote. Show of hands.
Yes.
Show of hands. Those for the amendment?
Councillor Gibbons, you're the only one that we can't see on camera, just as to whether you're voting for or against.
Okay. Order.
It appears Councillor Gibbons isn't there, sir.
Chair, there was a breakdown.
Sorry, four. Sorry.
Yeah. Four, thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's 29 against.
29 against.
No. Really? So 29 against and 5-4. So, yeah, and
one abstention.
For the amendment, yes. 5-4 your amendment, 29 against your amendment. And one abstention. Councillor Taylor?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, no, listen, it's just to say that it is disappointing that we are here again. Within the chamber discussing the latest wildfires that have caused devastation of the Moor Mountains, there's no other way of putting it. I know, you know, I've seen over the last week or so myself, I have a good few of the Moor Mountains where I am, and seeing the various fires that were, it's extremely concerning, and I certainly want to offer my thanks to the fire service personnel that have been involved over that period of time, putting in long hours to try and get those fires under control, and, you know, obviously secure the safety of people and the other organisations as well involved in that, the other statutory agencies and emergency services that were involved in that entire operation. And this is becoming an annual pattern, unfortunately, and it isn't good enough. And, you know, I think, you know, it is frustrating as well that, you know, that nobody ever has been prosecuted, or that anybody has been responsible, that they've failed, you know, faced the full consequences of their actions for that. and that does cause frustration. But we have to find a way of trying to deal with these fires on a, as I say, that are happening annually, unfortunately, because we can't continue a situation that we're enduring at the moment with this. So any support that the executive can give in that respect to try and, you know, try and deal with this issue, we'll certainly support that.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Can I just remind other councillors within this chamber, respect every other councillor that is speaking on any matter arising within this chamber. Maybe it includes the hometown, but you still will respect everybody else who's speaking. Thank you. Councillor Clark?
Thanks, Chair. I'd like to thank Councillor Truesdale for bringing the motion. As been said earlier, I brought a motion, an emergency motion as well, and we haven't progressed very much since that. I agree with the sentiments of the motion. We all recognise your precious, the Mourns, Sleep Gullion and Sleep Croob landscapes is to the island of Ireland and local residents. The paragraph which suggests writing to the executive for resources, in my opinion, the Department of Data, Justice and Health need to work through the wildfire strategy and action plan with all other stakeholders to bring forward recommendations to reduce the risk to habitat, carbon storage, wildlife and our tourism industry in our uplands. Ministers need to, you know, bring forward business cases to request that funding. You just can't ask for funding, you know, without recommendations on a project and a business case to bring forward. These deliberate fires, and they're not wildfires, they're deliberate fires, are endangering human life, particularly firefighters. I was speaking to a number of firefighters where there was a situation where the wind can turn and the firefighters can get trapped, endangering their lives. And I think we need to be conscious of that. You know, there's also human lives, people living in properties nearby. And the heartbreaking damage to our habitat, it will take decades to recover. As mentioned previously, nesting birds, the displacement of birds, the reduction in food sources, they're destroyed, you know, and as I said, it'll take generations to recover. Also, you know, the carbon storage, a number of organisations are working, you know, to wet the peatlands to reduce the fire risk, but also to capture the carbon. This has all been released. There's a particularly deep burn this fire has been, which is further consequences where it's destroyed the seed bed. So the recovery of the heather and other, you know, rare species of plants, it will be very difficult for them to recover at all. If you get a fast burn, there's a chance then that the seed bed can recover. As I say, I suppose moving forward, you know, before I do move forward, I'd just like to say, put in record the thanks to the firefighters, PSNI, third sector groups for assisting, you know, in getting the fires under control. And also, I'd like to mention, and I think other councillors and social media stuff, I'd like to thank local businesses for, you know, providing resources, food resources for the fire crews during a week of really, really treacherous conditions for fire crews. As I said, the Department of DARA, they need to carry out more outreach, in my opinion, more targeted at landowners and rural communities. There used to be a wildfire forum that was used to meet regularly, hasn't met for 2 years. You know, so there's very little collaboration between the different organisations, and I think that is key. They need them. Even points of contact, access points, you know, working together, the points of contact, that hasn't been happening. So I see that as a weakness. So hopefully the action plan will deal with that. There's no point in talking about stuff and doing action plans and stuff like that and just let them sit on the shelf. They need a progress and they need a, you know, people need to be meeting regularly in regards to how we combat this scourge in our society. We need to look at the fuel loads in the high moors, particularly the gorse, and we talked about the mallow grass as well. We need to look at, you know, creating fire breaks. You know, carrying out risk assessments with trustees, looking at the areas where are, you know, where they're more at risk. That needs to be, in my opinion, a priority. We can't do this right without working with the landowners. As I said, the one particular area I know well is up in Drinavere, which is south of Millstone Quarry, was destroyed. And that has had heavy gorse in it for the past decade. And it was always a fire risk, and very close to Donard Forest as well. And only for the walls and the paths in that area, that would have got into Donard Forest and it would have been down into Newcastle. And the same was at Chimney Rock, where the fire broke out and smouldered for large parts of the day, and then crept down until down into Denny Water, which is our water supply from the Binion Tunnel. You know, so there's greater cost there as well, because once the rains come, the ice in the soot will wash down into the watercourses and down into the reservoirs, and that will cost a lot of money for treatment by NI Water, which is another cost onto the executive, which they don't need. We all know NI Water under pressure already in regards to resources. And in regards to other people that have talked about the response to the fires, as I said, the firefighters have done their best to get fires under control. In treacherous conditions, very hard conditions to walk, and it was a particularly hot weather as well, and to carry gear up onto the high peaks is very, very strenuous. So people need to realise, you know, this is extremely hard work in the uplands. I think, as Glenn has said about, and others have said about helicopters, that has to be considered. You know, that has to be an approach. Currently, it is up to the health minister when there's a risk to life. We'll call in a helicopter. But as I said, a number of these fires were smouldering, you know, from early morning, could have been put out very quickly. And in my opinion, would have saved resources and saved money. We also have to consider new technologies. We need drones. We need to work with AI to identify fires, outbreaks of fires, particularly once a wildfire. And there was a wildfire warning, an amber warning for fires at that particular time. I believe that, you know, all the departments of fire service, DERA, PSNI, they need to collaborate, you know, by sending drones into the sky. Once that amber or a warning comes into place, they need to...
Councillor Clark.
Well, finishing up now, sure. They need to collaborate by sending drones into the sky to protect the moat.
Okay.
Fair
thank
enough,
you,
sir. There you go.
Chair, just a wee bit of clarification, though. I was offended by Councillor Hoosdale's remarks. There was a meeting took place that the unionist community was not invited to. I'm not sure what it is. Apparently, the SDLP, Sinn Féin, and Alliance Party seem to know about it. We never got an invitation to it. So for you to exclude us, I'm blaming you, Jill. You did. You called the meeting. Why did they exclude the unionists?
It was nice of trust.
Yes. So we have a motion from us. Those four.
Sure. Can I just say that the engagement that happened across the chamber, there wasn't on the phone, so Councillor Truesdale, just in case anybody that was in the room didn't hear, wants to repeat what you said in response to Councillor.
The meeting was called by Forever Mourns, and it pulled together all the Mourn stakeholders, Mourn Heritage Trust, National Trust councillors who had attended the previous one in September, MLAs, MPs, everybody was asked, invited to this meeting in Murlock House.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale.
We do find it offensive there with that group excluding us, so they do. So if they want to take it that way, or be it.
Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, sorry, I'm trying to get some clarification on that meeting that has been mentioned. Was that a Mourn Sustainable Future event? Is that what was referenced there? Sorry, yes.
That was the correct title, yes.
Well, Lloyd Douglas was present at that, was he not, Councillor Truesdale?
Yeah.
As a member of the public, yes, he was
there. No, he was a representative of the Ulster Unionist Party that day, was I nominated him to attend, so I think it's for clarity. It's important to say that the Ulster Unionist Party was there.
Okay, noted.
Yeah. No, well, it's important for context, Councillor Truesdale, if you're going to make references to particular parties, he was there because I appointed him to go, so it's important for context.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Okay. Is everybody in agreement with the motion? Yep. Okay. Councillor Truesdale, do you want to sum up?
Thanks, Chair, and thank you everybody for supporting that motion. Councillor Clark made a lot of valuable good points around collaborative action, fire breaks. The fire could well have come down to King Street if that wall hadn't been there. It would have been absolute chaos. So I think we could all get behind the Pal Costa Foundation and let them get on with pulling everything together that we need quickly. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. And that is us for this evening. See you at home, everyone.
Thanks, Chair.